Good evening. How are y'all? Good to be here. This is the last one for the quarter, huh? If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6, Olin finished, I think it was verse 8 of chapter 4. So that left a lot, and so I decided, you know, we've gotten such good theology in this study. In the first two chapters of Galatians, you know, Paul is going to great lengths to establish his apostolic authority, his right to speak on behalf of God, because that's what the Judaizers were undermining. And then in chapters 3 and 4, he defends his message. So he's defending his credentials in 1 and 2. He's defending his message in 3 and 4, which is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. So Olin has carried us through a big part of that, and there was a lot left. This is the last week, so I kind of wanted to just try and end on a very, I think, practical note. And so we're going to look at a very familiar passage in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 6 and talk tonight together about sowing and reaping. One person titled this passage, "The Law of Great Returns." The Law of Great Returns. A passage like this, I think, certainly can help us identify idols of the heart. And not only that, but some of the triggers to those idols. And so it's a very good passage for us to look at. Now, at this point in the letter, Paul is obviously nearing the end. And he's developed his main themes by now, and in the remaining portion of the epistle, he gives just some final admonitions to the Galatians. And in the text that we're going to look at tonight, Paul articulates a universal principle of order and consistency that applies to all of life. And that principle is that what you sow, you'll reap. And the principle is true in both the material and in the moral or the spiritual realm. And while we seem to have no problem abiding by the principle, or at least adhering to it or acknowledging it, in the material realm, I think where we're tempted sometimes as Christians is to not pay close attention to it in the moral realm or in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we can be tempted to think that we can ignore it or not pay close attention to it. Now, Paul uses the imagery here of agriculture. And he says that in the area of agriculture, if a farmer wants a harvest, he knows he must sow his seed in his field, right? Otherwise, there's no harvest. And furthermore, he knows that the kind of harvest he's going to reap is determined ahead of time by the sort of seed that he sows. Okay? He sows good seed, he reaps a good harvest. He sows bad seed, he reaps a bad harvest. A bad seed sown will not reap a good crop, and so forth. And again, no one has a problem with that principle in the material realm. They know that it's an immutable law of our universe. The problem arises when we think we can ignore it in the spiritual or moral realm. And so often people can be tempted to think that they can sow seed or a certain kind of seed without reaping the consequences. or because we don't reap right away, quite often, what we sow, then the temptation can be to be lackadaisical and to continue to sow seed thoughtlessly, nonchalantly. In the process, we can blind ourselves to the fact that the seeds we sow eventually, inevitably, are going to bring in a corresponding harvest. Or, here's another temptation. We think we can sow seed of one kind and reap a harvest of another kind. But what Paul is telling us in this text is that it's impossible to sow one thing and reap something different. Okay? He says as much in verse 7. Notice what he says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The word for mocked, mukterizo, is a word for nose, and it literally means to turn the nose at somebody, to sneer at them, or to outwit them. And what Paul is saying here is that while we may think we can fool ourselves, while we may think we can fool other people, and often we can't fool God. We can't outwit God. And we may think that we can escape this law of seed time and harvest, but we can't. And if we go on sowing seed and closing our eyes to the consequences, one day, God Himself is going to bring in the harvest. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. That's the unchangeable universal law of the universe. And it's just as true in the moral and spiritual realm as it is in the material realm. And Paul tells us to think otherwise is to deceive ourselves. Now, think about people throughout history who have denied this principle of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping. Famous people who have openly tried to deny this principle. Ernest Hemingway, for example, became famous for snubbing his nose at morality and at God. He openly declared that his own life proved that a person could do anything he wanted without paying the consequences. He felt that the ideas of the Bible were outdated, that they had no place for modern man. They were useless, that obedience to the Bible was a hindrance to his pleasure and self-fulfillment, right? He mocked God. He mocked this principle, and of course we know how his life ended up, right? He put a bullet in his head. Other famous authors like Sinclair Lewis, Oscar Wilde, had a similar experience. Both of them ignored this divine standard, mocking God and His Word. But even though people ignore it or deny it, they're still subject to it. And so were these men. They reaped what they had sown all their lives. Lewis died as an alcoholic in a clinic in Italy. And Wilde ended up an imprisoned homosexual. And near the end of his life, he wrote these words. He said, "I forgot somewhere along the line that what you are in secret, you will someday cry aloud from the housetop." What you sow, you reap. We may not reap it right away, but we will reap it. Now, Paul begins then by simply stating the principle in verse 7. He says, "Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." And again, this principle is true for every person, in every place, every time, regardless of gender. And whether or not we choose to live by it or not, everyone is subject to it. This law is as impartial and unpredictable and immutable as, say, the law of gravity. You know, someone could deny that. what's going to happen if they jump off a roof, right, or jump off a cliff. And God's Word's very clear about this. Job 4:8 says, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, but glory and honor and peace for every man who does good. Okay? We see this law of sowing and reaping demonstrated in the life of Christ. He sowed perfect righteousness and he reaped eternal life. And now we reap what he sowed when we are united to him in faith. But that doesn't mean that as a Christian that I am exempt from all the consequences of my own sowing. Right? Although I'll never ultimately reap what I've sown, I can reap a lot of heartache in this life. And in this journey, cause and effect, God's law of sowing and reaping still operates in the lives of his children. And so Paul states the principle. Next, he explains how it works. Look at verse 8. He says, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. So for a Christian, there's only two fields in which we can sow. That of our own flesh and that of the Spirit. And Paul tells us here that the kind of harvest we reap not only depends on the kind of seed we sow, but it also depends on the field that we sow it in. And that's important for us to understand because we're the ones who choose that field, right? People are not simply the helpless victims of their temperament or their environment. Okay, now that can play a role. But I think largely what we are or what we become depends on how we behave. Our behavior or our character is shaped significantly by our conduct. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 that it's our responsibility to walk by the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 16. And now he's saying to us in chapter 6, sow to the Spirit. Okay? And we can't expect to reap the fruit of the Spirit, 5:23, if we don't sow in the field of the Spirit. Okay, so what we're talking about really is just a fundamental, basic principle in Christian growth. Okay? A lot of people wonder, why am I not growing anymore as a Christian? Why am I not growing in intimacy with the Lord? Why am I not growing in holiness of life? And all the while, they haven't been sowing to the field of the Spirit. Rather, they've been sowing to their own flesh. Now, Paul mentions two fields in which we can sow. First, there's the sowing to the flesh, verse 8. The flesh is our lower nature, with its passions and its desires, that Adamic residue that still is in us, even as believers, even as the redeemed of the Lord, that's very real and at times very potent. And if we let this lower nature go unchecked, then it breaks out into what Paul calls the works of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh? Well, he mentions them in chapter 5, verse 19 and following. Look at it. He says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these. Okay? And this lower nature is still in us, in each of us, even after we become Christians. And it's one of the fields, Paul says, that we can sow in. Now, what does it mean to sow to the flesh? How do I do that? Well, to sow to your flesh is to pander to it, to cuddle it, to stroke it, to feed it, instead of crucifying it by the power of the Holy Spirit, instead of mortifying sin in our lives. And the seeds we sow are largely, I would say, our thoughts and our deeds, the things that we do. John Stott put it like this in his commentary. This was very challenging to me. I'm quoting him. He says this, "Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk which strains our self-control, we are sowing, sowing, sowing to the flesh. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they do not reap holiness. Holiness is a harvest. Whether we reap it or not depends almost entirely on what and where we sow." That's pretty challenging, isn't it? Are we growing? Are we growing in holiness of life? What field are we sowing to? What kind of seed are we sowing? What are the kind of things do we watch on television? What kind of literature do we read? What do we allow ourselves to dwell on during the week? Are we dwelling on those things that are good and lovely and perfect and pure, like Paul talks about in Philippians 4:8? Are we meditating in God's Word? What kind of company are we keeping? See, very practical questions that we can ask ourselves. Well, what is the outcome of sowing to the flesh? Paul tells us in verse 8, he says, "The one who sows to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption." Corruption. The word corruption means degeneration, going from better to worse. It was a word used of decaying food that turns from something beneficial to something harmful. And if we continue to sow to the flesh, we become progressively worse and worse. Again, not that we would ever lose our salvation or something like that if we're true Christians, but we can cause a lot of heartache. Even to the point that our testimony can become so bad that God does the ultimate form of discipline and brings us home, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And they were abusing the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, because of that, many of you sleep. You know, their testimony had become so bad that God did the ultimate in terms of discipline. Now, fortunately, there's another option. The second field Paul mentions, also in verse 8, is sowing to the Spirit. To sow to the Spirit is the same as to set the mind on the Spirit, or to walk by the Spirit. And again, the seeds we sow are our thoughts and our deeds, the things that we do. We are to seek and set our mind on the things above, not on the things on earth, Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We've all heard the saying that, you know, so-and-so is so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly value. Well, the opposite's true too sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes people are so earthly minded, they're of no heavenly value. We sow to the Spirit as we give ourselves to reading the right kinds of books, as we give ourselves to the right company, to the right kind of leisure activities. We sow to the Spirit as we foster disciplined habits of devotion in our private and public lives, daily prayer, Bible reading, in the worship of God's people, of the Lord with God's people on the Lord day, on the Lord's Day, things like scripture memory. You know, all of these things are what it means to sow to the Spirit. And without regular participation in these things, there can be no harvest of the Spirit. There can be no fruit of the Spirit. Like Paul talks about in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. Well, what is the outcome of sowing to the Spirit? Verse 8, Paul says, "The one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life." Eternal life. Eternal life is a quality of life that begins the moment I become a Christian. It's the life of God in me, living in me. And as I sow to the Spirit, I reap the benefits of God's blessing in my life here and now. And a life of sowing to the Spirit not only brings blessing now, it culminates in blessing, obviously, at the end of my journey, right? For all of eternity. So we see this principle explained. Paul says that a life spent in sowing to the flesh results in corruption, while a life spent in sowing to the Spirit results in eternal life. And again, this is a daily choice for us. A moment by moment choice. The harvest we reap depends on the kind of seed we sow and the field that we sow it in. Finally, having stated the principle and having explained it, thirdly, Paul applies it. And he does that in verses 9 and 10. He says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." And here Paul is just giving us a practical way that this principle of sowing and reaping can be applied. Okay? One of the ways we sow to the Spirit is by serving other people. Christian service. And Paul tells us that some incentive is needed in our service. And so he urges us not to grow weary, not to lose heart in well-doing. As many of you know, active service can be wearisome. It can be hard at times. It can be tiresome. And we can be tempted to begin to become discouraged, to slack off, to give up. And we all need incentive and encouragement. And so Paul tells us that doing good, serving others, is like sowing seed. And if we persevere, then in due season, he says, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Okay? Now, it's easy to lose heart because we lose patience. And when we don't see an immediate return of our labors, it's easy to become discouraged, to give up. Paul says we need to be patient. Again, think of the farmer. If a farmer tires of sowing and he leaves half of his field unsown, then he's only going to reap half a crop. And in a sense, it's the same with good deeds. If we want a harvest, we must finish the sowing. We must be patient. The Puritan John Brown said it like this: many Christians are like children. They would sow and reap the same day. It usually doesn't happen that way, does it? It's easy for us to become tired of sowing and be anxious for the harvest. Think of Hebrews 11 and the great heroes of the faith there. Most of them died without ever seeing the harvest, right? Without ever seeing what was promised to them. But one day, God's word tells us, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And it's the battle of instant gratification versus delayed gratification, isn't it? And believing that God will reward, even though it's not something we can tangibly feel or experience or put our hands on now. I want to close by reading a very encouraging, I think, few sentences here from Tim Keller's book, Galatians for You. Just on this point here. And he says this. He says, day by day, sowing to please the Spirit requires us to not become weary in doing good. He says, there's always a delay between sowing and reaping. Paul has warned sinners that though it may seem for a long time that your sin hasn't found you out, eventually it will. Now he wants to encourage those who are living for Christ. People who do good will see the fruits and benefits eventually. He says we need to realize, and this is where I found a lot of encouragement here. We need to realize that there are deeper harvests that happen even when we don't meet with much outward success. We will find, and listen to this, our own character changing deeply through ministry or service. Our consciences will be clear and our hearts happier since we're less self-indulgent. Will develop a less selfish and more satisfied character, which will serve us well when we're under pressure. We may not reap quickly, and we may not see all that we reap, but we can know that there is a great harvest for those who sow to please the Spirit. Isn't that encouraging? Especially for people in ministry for years and years and years, and you know, maybe times when you don't see a lot happening. But there's deeper things going on, deeper things that are happening. So there you have it. Paul says the Christian life is like sowing seed. And here's the reality. All of us are sowing seed. Okay? All of us are sowing seed. The question is, what kind of seed are we sowing? And what field are we sowing it in? Are we sowing good seed or bad seed? Are we sowing in the field of the flesh? Are we sowing in the field of the Spirit? The kind of seed and the place it is sown will determine the type of harvest that we reap. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we rejoice in the gospel that ultimately we do not reap what we sow. We reap what somebody else sowed. And we rejoice in that. Father, may that truth, may that reality become so much more a part of us that with great passion we desire to sow good seed in the proper field. And we have a growing distaste of the other idols of our hearts that cause us to sow bad seed and sow to the flesh. Father, your word teaches us that while one man sows and another man reaps, you're the one who gives the increase. Would you take these words tonight, this passage, and press it into our hearts and our souls? Father, would you grow us so that we would be more and more intimate with you and that we would be more and more fruitful for your kingdom? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.